But you love us so much more. And we just commit this service to you this morning. And as we hear from you, Lord, I pray that lives will be changed and there will be a shift in people's hearts this morning. We commit it to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So, another year. Another year has passed. There's been ups and downs, no doubt, for many of us. There's people sat there now that I know have testimonies that they've shared in this church of some of the ups and downs that they've had in their lives. But they have come out on top. Because they have come out as winners. They are winners. Is it okay, Liz? Is it my hair? No. A little technical issue. And we've come out as winners. Because if you are following Jesus, you are a winner. Amen. You will win the race. And the race isn't always easy. And we were praying in the back room this morning, in the back office. And Joanna had a word from the Lord. Are we all right to share, Joanna? Yeah. In fact, Joanna, do you want to come up? Come up and just share it.
Each morning, 9:30. Well, it's going to be 9:30. So if you're welcome to join us, if you want to come and pray in the mornings. We were praying over the service and we were praying over the church. And there were some specific things that the Lord was saying. And one of them is to simplify, to accelerate. Can I just say a little bit? I nearly gave a testimony. Throughout December, December's always busy, isn't it? It's always hectic. But I was dealing with a lot of stuff throughout December and a lot of oppression that was coming at my mind. And I felt like I was on the verge of a breakdown. And I was coming to church on a Sunday and barely functioning. I was having it very, very difficult. You guys probably wouldn't have known, but I was really, really struggling to function. And the Lord said to me, you're not having a breakdown. It's oppression that is coming at your mind. It's demonic oppression. It was people trying to pull me back into where they thought I should be, an old church trying to pull me back, and people trying to pull me into where they thought I should be. And it was extremely difficult. I was talking to Sash on the way here, and the Lord's been really helping me with that over the Christmas holiday. And he's brought me into a different place of clarity, and he's shown me exactly what he wants me to come out of, and what he wants me to be involved with, friendships that need to be cut off, and different things. And the Lord said to me one day, simplify to accelerate, that we're at a point in God's timeline and history that we cannot run around like headless chickens, just doing everything that needs to be done and everything. We can't be in that place. We need to focus. We need to focus on what God is calling us to do and give him our time and attention. So I just encourage you to, okay, sorry, I'm sorry, I'm being a bit preachy, but I pray for you guys every day, you know, I carry you in my heart all the time, and you guys are very, very precious, and God wants to do some awesome things at this church if we'll let him. He wants to take us higher and deeper, and he loves you so much. And so I just encourage you, if you haven't already, spend some extra time with God and ask him about this new year. Ask him what he wants you to be involved with and focus on him. You know, and also Hebrews 12 came up today, where it says about laying aside all the distractions and weights and the sin that so easily tries to entangle us and cling to us. And throw it aside and run the race that is set before you with your eyes on Jesus. Because when you have your eyes on him, you ascend up like that eagle, like Pastor Steve was talking about a few weeks ago about the chickens and the eagles. We're not called to be chickens. We're called to be eagles. And eagles don't let anything bother them. They use a storm to just get on the current and go up higher. to go up higher. And God's calling each one of us to that higher place where we see things as he is seeing them from a whole new perspective. It's like that, I was thinking of a Disney song yesterday, and the song Entangled, which is you get what I mean, but there's suddenly a moment where the two people, they lastly see the light, and it's like the fog has lifted. And the Lord was speaking that to me. It's like the fog has just cleared from my mind. And the last point of it is, now that I see you. And they're singing it to each other. But the Lord was showing me, it's now that we see him. When we see him and we keep our eyes on him, everything shifts and changes. And we see things differently. And I feel like everything is bright. Everything has suddenly become bright and beautiful. And I don't know how to describe it to you. But I'm just encouraging you, spend some time with the Lord, because this is not just for me, it's for all of us that he's saying it. Simplify to accelerate, simplify to ascend. Amen.
Isn't she just a joy? She really is. Joanna and Sasha, we are so glad that you've started to attend Living Faith Church. You are part of our family and we love you so much. We really do, you're wonderful. Do you know, it's interesting because when we got that word, I'd already made some notes for today. And the Lord goes before us, doesn't he? And there's many things there that Joanna has said that was already being touched on from what the Lord has started to speak to me about. And he's shifted and changed a few things already. This morning, I was reading in Sparkling Gems by Rick Renner. And it was about sort of the new year coming in and New Year's resolutions, and how many times do people make New Year's resolutions and when we break them within the first hurdle, and then you beat yourself up about it. Oh, I said I wasn't going to eat chocolate all year, and I've started eating chocolate and it's only day three. You know what I mean? It's sort of, you make some silly little resolutions, don't you? Sometimes it's about giving up things, sometimes it's about starting things. And in the Sparkling Gems this morning, I was reading from Philippians 3, so I just wanted to turn to it just briefly. I'm going to go to Philippians 3, and we're reading from verse 12. Not that I have already attained or have already been perfected, but I follow after it so that I may lay hold of that which I was seized by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not count myself to have attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to read that last part again. I do not count myself to have attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward to the goal, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. And it's just what Joanna's just said. Amen. Letting the past go. And the word forget, when you look at the meaning in the Greek, it depicts something that is done with, something that is accomplished and no longer is an issue. So what you've just shared there, Joanna, is no longer an issue. You don't need to feel like that. You don't need to feel pulled from pillar to post. We can simplify it to accelerate it. Praise God. The Greek word behind also means, and this is the word piso, which describes something that no longer has any relevance in your life. So forget, it's done with, it's accomplished, it's no longer an issue, and behind us, describing something that no longer has relevance in your life. I feel like singing, let it go, let it go. Yeah. Another Disney song. Because the past is in the past. The past is in the past. Jesus went to the cross for us, so that the past could be in the past. Amen. And very often we continue to focus on the past, don't we? There could be unforgiveness there. There could be hurts there. There could be concerns. There could be worries. People may have said awful things to you that you just can't let go. But this morning, at the turning point of 2023 to 2024, we need to let it go. It's behind us. The past is in the past. Let it go. It's old. It's outdated. It's no longer relevant. That's not saying there's some things in the past that are good, but it's the things that aren't good that are weighing you down are in the past. Amen. They are gone. They've gone before, and the Lord has gone before us. And they are gone. We don't need to focus on them. We don't need to have any cares or worries about them. Amen. That makes sense to everybody. Yeah. If we can get hold of that and nothing else this morning, I think we'll be changed, won't we? Amen. 2023 may have been a year where people have hurt you. People may have said things that have dug deep. There may have been sadness in your life. You may have gone through something that's been a real struggle, a real hardship. You may have missed the mark on many occasions. I know I have. I stand here and I hold my hands up. I have missed the mark. But we focus on the negative far too much. What about the good that's taken place? If you're going to reflect on 2023, reflect only on the good. The good things that God has done for us. The good things that God has done through you. The good things that God is going to do through you, that you know he's going to do because he has promised you those things. The great and wonderful things that have happened in our church. The things that we've just heard in those beautiful testimonies, and we had testimonies last week that brought me to tears. The great things that have gone on through our Ticking Network, in the other churches, lives that have been changed, lives that have been saved, new members, new ideas to reach people for the kingdom, new seeds being planted, miracles happening. No miracle, no Jesus, no miracles. Healings. Amen. That I can't count how many we've had in our church now. People just completely set free, living healthy lives. Somebody sat right in front of me there that has gone through a really struggling year, gone through real turmoil, was in hospital for a long time, has come out on top as a winner. Praise God. We've heard those testimonies. We've heard those testimonies. And if it doesn't build your faith when you hear those testimonies where you need to wake up, I'm sorry, friends, you do. Because if it doesn't build your faith when you hear those testimonies that are shared, there's something wrong and you're sleepy somewhere, something not quite in line. Wake up and listen to those testimonies and let your faith grow and build because of them. Yeah. Just allow the Lord to do that for you. We sang at the beginning, didn't we? Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. It was a good song choice that to start this morning, Agnes. Agnes led for the first time today. One of her gifts that has been sat there. And she's been wondering, when do I use it? Do I ask Pastor Steve? Do I speak to Pastor Ruth? What shall I do? And she's stepped forward and she stepped into that gift beautifully this morning, hasn't she? Praise God. Praise God. She knew that God wanted her to do that, but we wait, don't we? We wait, and sometimes we wait for confirmation from people, don't we, rather than from the Lord. But she stepped into it, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Do you know, friends, I do believe in 2024 that God wants to do something new with each of you. Amen. He really does. He wants to do something new in this church. He wants to do something new with you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
So if you believe it, I'm going to ask the question, can you receive it?
Yes.
Yes. Got some nods. If you believe it, you can receive it. Doesn't matter what your age, from the youngest child that sat at the back there to the oldest person, and I'm not going to point to them. But whatever age you are, God can do something new through you. We hear testimonies from the oldest people in our church, and I love each person dearly. We hear wonderful testimonies from the older people in our church. And we hear beautiful testimonies from our little darlings that come and stand on the platform. Don't we? We really do. Something new through you. and he wants to do a new thing. I was actually thinking this morning about my dad, and those of you that were here when my dad came to preach, he read from Isaiah, and it was a real clear message about doing a new thing. We read in Isaiah that God wanted to do a new thing, and he did do a new thing. He did a new thing and many new things through the new covenant. He took away the old. He's gone before us. Are we going to allow him to do that new thing? Because the only thing that gets in the way, friends, is us. It's us that gets in the way. I've sat on many gifts that I know I've had over the years, and I've sat too long. You sit far too long, they'll just disappear. You've got to use those gifts and those talents for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. He wants to do a new thing through us at Living Faith Church. He wants to do a new thing through each of you. And he knows what's in store for us. You might have only had a little glimpse, but he knows beyond. He knows beyond. And if we simplify it, it will accelerate it. Can accelerate those gifts. What a beautiful word from the Lord this morning. Simplify to accelerate. Simplify our own lives, focusing purely on him. And things will start to speed. Your gifts will start to flow. You'll start to step into things, realms in the world that you never thought you'd ever step into. Believe me, friends, I've seen things I never thought I would see. I've heard testimonies I never thought I would hear. Praise God. He is a wonderful, wonderful God. He really is. You know, the day before, John and I went for a little walk in Arnside. It's one of our favourite places. We've taken Rebecca there for years as a family on holidays because my father-in-law used to have a caravan there. But there's a particular walk that I really like. It's not too long. It's only 5 miles. So it's not too long. It's just a nice walk. But it takes you through a beach. It takes you through the woods. It takes you down roads. It takes you down lanes. And then it takes you back to the shops. And it normally takes us back to somewhere called the Albion that's got a lovely roaring fire and we can sit in front and get warm. So there's lots of reasons I like that walk. But we did that walk the other day. And as we were walking, the weather must have changed about 5-6 times. We started off in sunshine, not hot sunshine, but it was sunny. There was no rain. Then it drizzled a little bit. Then it stopped. Then it was really windy. Then it hailstoned. Then it was windy and hailstoned, which wasn't a great mix because it hurt. And then we carried on walking and we had sunshine again and then we had torrential rain at the end. The weather changed so many times on that walk and it got me to think about the seasons in our lives and how they change. But it also made me think about the one who doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. He never changes. Never changes. And as we went on the walk, we were walking through the wooded area and the trees looked dark and they looked quite dead, the trees in places. There was no leaves on them, obviously. It's winter time, the leaves had dropped. But when you look really closely at the leaves and the branches that were there, the odd few that were left and the odd few that were there, you could see little buds of new life growing just on the ends of the branches. The trees were all different, and the trees change with the seasons, don't they? And at the end of our walk, and I've not brought a picture of it today, but I was going to bring a picture. When we finished our walk, the last thing I saw was a bush, and it had brown, frazzled leaves on it, all dead, but they were just still sat on it. And if you'd have gone like that, they would have all fallen off. But on top, as if somebody had put that there in a pot, there was a Christmas tree on top of this dead hedge. And that reminded me of Jesus, that he is there, whatever the weather, whatever the season, whatever the change in our lives, he is there, isn't he? Our one consistent, he never changes. The three in one sat there on top of the bush. I'll try and send the photograph around later. And it was sat there, green in all its glory. And it was higher than anything else on that eye line at the end of our walk. And it just reminded me of the Lord's love for us and his consistency. And he never, ever changes, that unconditional love that never changes. Whatever happens in our lives, he's still there and he never, ever changes. Isn't that beautiful? I love the way that the Lord uses nature to speak to me, because he does that often. Often it's the clouds, but on my walks, it's often there. But the other thing that I saw on our walk was this, and I think I've got a picture of this. Here we go. I hope it's clear enough. That tree has been there for years, hasn't it, Rebecca, when we've gone for our walks? And year by year, the land underneath has continued to just erode away. And it's actually, if you look down the sides, there's actually two little caves that go in underneath. Now, what's the chance of that tree lasting much longer? Because the roots have nowhere to go. The weaving and wrapping around, and they're trying to find anywhere they possibly can to hold on to. Anywhere they possibly can, they're trying to find something to hold on to. And you can see how unstable it is there where the trunk is. And it's a bonny old tree. It's a good tree. It's well established. It's got a really nice trunk on it. But it's just trying to hold on. And it is holding on. It's holding on for dear life. And it's still alive all these years on, because we've been doing that walk for many years. But I looked at that and I took a photograph of it. And it took me to 1 Corinthians 3, which I've got to read in a minute. But I was thinking about when we sang at the beginning, holding on. And people in the world that don't know Jesus are holding on to anything they possibly can. Anything they can find, they're holding on to. Something that might be a bit of an addiction for them in the end, because they're holding on to it. They're holding on, and the roots that they've got have nothing underneath. There's no substance there. Yeah? There's no foundation there, because they don't know what they don't know. There's no foundation there for them. It's gone. It's eroded away. And then they're left there in the world, and they're holding on and twisting and turning and holding on to anything they can. But eventually, they will fall. Just like that tree eventually will fall. So let's just turn to 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to read from verse 10. According to the grace of God, which has been given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, but another builds on it. Now let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no one can lay another foundation than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. For no one can lay another foundation than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. And when you think about that picture, if somebody came along and filled in the bottom bit now with lots and lots and lots of topsoil, I'm not quite sure that those roots would still find their way, because they're so well established, they're going the wrong way, aren't they, and they're holding on to things. But if you leave it long enough, anybody that's a gardener may know this, maybe eventually, with the right conditions and the right watering, they may start to meander back and it may start to grow strong. And if you think about people that don't know Jesus and they haven't got him in their life, that is just what it's like, isn't it? He has gone before them. The foundation is there. They just don't know it. And they need that foundation filling in so that they can build strong in their life. Unlike that tree that's not got anything there to support it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Jesus is our foundation. He has laid them out before us. And our church knows that. Or I hope you know that. And we've got our lovely little booklet. And it felt timely today to share this booklet again. And thinking again about what the Lord spoke to Joanna is simplify to accelerate. Got a little guide here. It's a simple guide. I think many people, even if they were non-believers and they'd not been to church for a long time, could take this and get something from it, because it is a beautiful guide. It sets the foundation for Christian living. And if you wanted to, you can take it. Many of you may have already done it, and there's a little covenant agreement on the back and you can sign it. But it has the essentials for a believer's life within it. It has the foundations for life, living in faith every day. And if we go to our little boot just for a very short time this morning, and I don't want to speak for too long this morning, but there are some important points that I do want to share. And I know that the Lord wants you to really digest it this morning. In January, we're going to be thinking in this church about serving. And we're going to have a month where we're going to be learning about serving. And Pastor Steve's going to speak to us about serving. And part of our little book is about serving. But if you go to the other sections, we've got serving, we've got time, we've got protecting, responsibility, and we've got supporting. And this morning, just for a couple of minutes, I want us to look at protecting. And in our little booklet, it says, living in faith every day means protecting the unity of my church by acting in love towards others. And we've got 1 Peter 1 there, verse 22. Know that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. I feel the love in this church whenever I come on a Sunday. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else on a Sunday. Would you? No. There's no place I would rather be than here at Living Faith Church. No place I would rather be. Acting in love towards others. We didn't go into all the detail of all the testimonies this morning, but I know that there was absolute compassion in action and love in action happening with our dear sister Ruth and Alex. I know that. And I felt that from some of the things that Ruth said this morning. There's love towards others. People are giving of the time. Agnes has come this morning with all that fruit and food and vegetables and drinks and cans, whatever is there. And she's giving her the time to do that. It's love that she's showing towards others. There was a beautiful testimony from our school only a matter of weeks ago that Agnes and Stuart came. They'd been to Tesco and they were given lots of toys that were already wrapped and had ages on for the children. And they arrived at our school under our Christmas tree. And we were able to give that to many disadvantaged children. What a blessing. Oh, God uses people, but love and giving of time as well to do that and to bring that to our school. It takes time. You've got to inconvenience yourself, haven't you, when you're doing the work of the Lord? You've got to inconvenience yourself. Sometimes you don't quite feel like it. If we're going to be honest, probably Agnes and I were thinking, oh, I could do without this the week before Christmas. We've got Christmas parties. We've got a nativity to do. I'm going to have to fit in receiving all this food now and all these presents. But what a blessing. Gave of our time, and the Lord blessed us greatly. And the children received something there that they might not have had at Christmas time. We've got to inconvenience ourselves. We really do. By refusing to use harmful words, do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear you. Ephesians 4, verse 29. So important. We've had a lot of teaching on that this year. And I hope each one of you have gone away and you've changed things in your lives with that. I know I have. What comes out of these lips is so, so important. Words to build people. Provide what is needed, so that you will say what you say will do good to those who hear you. Doing good to those who hear you, building people up. And you know, I was reading this the other night, and I was thinking about its context within the protecting the unity of the church. We need to be forearmed at Living Faith Church, because friends, God is doing a good thing for each of you, and we need. We really do need to be on guard. We need to be fully equipped. And you need to be ready to defend the church. Because out there, there are people that want to rip us down. There are many people that want to be negative about us and say negative things about us. Say negative things about the teaching. I know that I'm opening myself up to it the minute I stand on this platform. You've got to be ready, ready to defend the word of God. Yeah. And if everything that we are saying is in line with the word, then that is great, because that is the foundation, that true foundation. But you need to be equipped with it first to be able to give an account, don't you, friends? If you don't know what's in the word, then you can't defend the word, because you need to have it in you to be able to defend it. Does that make sense? And the last point is by following the leaders. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. We have a strong leader. And I'm not talking about God, I'm talking about the leader in our church, Bishop Stephen Lynn Evans. His family are strong. They are rooted in the Bible. They are rooted in the word. We are Bible-believing followers of the word, or I hope we are. It's one of our key principles and ethos behind Living Faith Church. And we must protect him. We must protect Bishop Stephen. And if we hear negative words being said, we must be willing to give an account for that. And we must be willing to defend it. We really must. I'm hoping that people have got his back. I'm trusting that people have got his back, because he needs it. I've stepped into ministry in this last year or two, and I know that I need people behind me. And I can't say thank you enough, because I know that when I get up here to speak, I know that I have got your backing. And it doesn't actually matter, because as long as the Lord's behind me, that's okay. But it does encourage me, friends. It really means a lot to me to have your support and your backing. Pastor Steve needs that too. He may be really experienced in preaching, but he needs our support and he needs our backing. And we need to be strong behind him, because we need strength in numbers within our church. And there will be times to come that are going to be amazing times. But there will be times to come that will be hard times. And as a body, a family in this church, we need to stick together. Yeah. I've got my mum here this morning. I've got a member of my family here, praise God. Thank you, mum, for coming. I have got Rebecca here, my daughter. So I've got two members of my family that are really important to me. But if I did not have their support, I may not be able to do what I do. But I need to have the strength in God to do it. And I still would go against what they were saying if I knew it was from the Lord. And sometimes you have to do that as a leader in the church. Oh, my dad's just walked in. That was good timing, wasn't it? That was right on time. Morning, Dad. So I've now got three members of my family here. Praise God. So following the leaders, and by refusing to use harmful words, building each other up, building our leaders up. The trustees are very, very supportive of everybody here. We have a really, really strong family body ministry here, and each of you are part of it. We may be ministers called to be ministers, but you are all called to be ministers. Yeah? Might be not called to preach, but you are all called to be ministers within the church. So moving on, I just want to share, and thinking about those positive words, we have a new book this year from Pastor Steve. And Bishop Stephen Lynn Evans has written his book, and it is The Cybernetics of Faith. Many of you will have read it. But I just want to read from page 81 within it. Jesus taught that, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Matthew 12. 34. The famous old charismatic minister Smith Wigglesworth started his working life as a plumber and was known as a man of his word. When Wigglesworth said he'd do something, then he would do it. He was a man of his word. His word was his bond, and so when he started to preach, people believed in his words. because they knew him to be a man of his word. Sure enough, when Wigglesworth preached healing by faith, healing took place. His natural word was trustworthy, and so it was altogether easier for him and others to believe the supernatural words that he spoke. The sorts of words that are incubating inside us depend on what we've been feeding on. If we feed on positive, good food, we will be incubating good seed. This seed will subsequently bear a good harvest. Speaking positive words out can either confirm your positivity, your inner sat-nav, as Pastor Steve refers to it in the book, or it can confuse it. Think positive and speak positive to receive a positive result. Something to think about there, isn't there? Something to think about. On page 5 of our little book, we've got about supporting. And in supporting, we need to be positive too, speaking positive words. What comes out of our mouths has the power to change lives. But supporting as well, supporting by attending faithfully. And it refers to Hebrews 10. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. Attending regularly, attending faithfully. Pastor Steve spoke about this just the other week. And people say, oh, I'm having church at home this week. But you're not together with your family then, are you? This family. Your family, your body, the body of the church. You're not together with your family, building each other up. You're not having that fellowship afterwards and before. You're not sharing the peace during the service. If you just sit at home every week, yes, you may feel close to the Lord in doing it, but you're not going to be building each other up, and you're not having that such important fellowship when you come here. And things happen when you come to church, don't they? Things have happened this morning, praying in that back room. We've had a clear word from the Lord, clear direction from the Lord this morning that we've been able to bring into the service. That wouldn't have happened if we weren't together. If Sasha and Joanna weren't praying in that back room and I'd not stepped in there and other people came in, that wouldn't have happened. It's important as well to worship at home, but on a Sunday, coming together as a body in God's house is so important, attending faithfully and supporting the church by doing so. I sang that song many years ago now. There's no place I would rather be than right here with the Lord. There's no place I would rather be than right here with the Lord. With the Lord, with the Lord, right here with the Lord. With the Lord, with the Lord, right here with the Lord. No place I would rather be. And many, many years ago, before my life changed, I would have been quite happy putting the sheets over my head and just going back to sleep. But not anymore. I have a desire to be here on a Sunday. So much so that my husband won't book holidays now that impinge on a Sunday, because he knows how precious it is to me that I want to be here. Praise God. Make it first place in our lives. Whatever may get in the way, pray against it, because God will make a way. And you know, there was one week, and I really had a desire to go to prayer meeting. It was when we were at the other building. And I didn't know I was going to fit everything in, because we'd only got one car at the time. And really, in the human mind, it was impossible. But I prayed, and the Lord made a way. And I managed to do everything I needed to do, prepare for something that I needed to do for work, prepare for something I needed to do for the Bible study at church, get from one place to the next, and still be there on time for prayer meeting. It's in the supernatural. Doesn't make sense to me, but I did it and I got there. And that happens regularly. If you give it to the Lord, if you're following his priority and you're putting him first, he will make a way. We sing that song, don't we? He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will. Believe it. He really will. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Finally, in our little booklet, I'm just going to touch very briefly, we have serving. And I've already said that January is going to be a month where we're going to be thinking about serving and serving the church. And we're going to finish where we're going to start 2024. And it's up there for you as well. And the point that I want to focus on just for a few minutes this morning is by discovering my gifts and talents. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That's from 1 Peter 4:10. By discovering our gifts and talents. I'm going to share something very personal that many years ago now, somebody spoke to me, and it was words from the Lord. It was a prophecy. And it was about healing, and it was about having the gift for healing. And I sat on it because I wasn't quite sure what to do with it. But then I started to study around it. And as I studied, and as I prayed, and as I spent time with the Lord to find out about what I needed to do, I started to step into that gift. In the Bible, it tells us to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. And last week, Ruth shared a beautiful testimony about baby Emmanuel. And when we were at Pastor Steve's house, we all held hands at the party and we prayed. We prayed for Emmanuel, who was at a point, wasn't he, Ruth, where he was going to be taken. He was already in critical care, but could very easily have been taken to a different hospital. The situation was getting worse. His breathing was getting worse. And we prayed. And as we prayed, I had a picture from the Lord in my head. And it was going to the hospital. And it was going laying hands on Emmanuel. And I knew that I needed to use that gift that the Lord had put within me. And I was obedient. And I went. And I went on the ward. And I had such a blessed time with Daniel and with Ruth and little Emmanuel. There was even a nurse there that was a Christian. God puts people in the right places, doesn't he? And we prayed together. But we didn't just pray. We ministered healing in Jesus' name. And Emmanuel was better. And Emmanuel, within days, was it about two days, was home. Praise God. Praise God. At home where he should be as a precious little baby at such a young age. And his head is so strong this morning. If you've seen him this morning, his head is so strong. He's looking around everywhere. Do you know, friends, I tear up when I think about children. I know my job day by day is with the children, but I do tear up because they're so precious. They really are. But, you know, Jesus, when you think about him in the Bible and the stories that we read in the Bible, he loved them, and he loves them now. He walked on earth, and he said, let the children come to me. Let the little children come to me. And it's such a blessing that we've got a growing children's community in our church. Children's work is so important, and Louise and others do a brilliant job with it. They really do. Tuesday evenings, we have the club, and we've got things going on for the children, and it's just wonderful. And I look at the little faces now, such dear little things. But, you know, the reason I share that testimony about the healing is that I could sit on anything that the Lord gives me to do. And I'm not saying I've always done the right thing. I've missed the mark many, many times. I know that. But in 2024, friends, I just want to encourage us this, that we step forward into what the Lord wants us to do. We step forward because it will change lives. And I didn't say it might change lives, I said it will change lives. The Bible tells us lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. It doesn't say lay hands on the sick and they might be healed. We hope they'll be healed. It says they will be healed. Lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. God used me mightily that day. It was him through me, not in my strength, in his strength. He can use you mightily too. Don't lose those gifts that he's given you. Use them. Don't conceal them. Let them flow. Just encourage you that. And the Frozen song comes into my head again. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go. Praise God. I could conceal the gifts, but no, let it flow. Let it go. The past is in the past. Yes. Let it go. Amen. Isn't God's power working through us so amazing? He wants to use each of us in 2024. He wants you to have the power. You've got it. Just take it. It's a gift. It's a gift from him. He has the power to change lives. We know that. And you need to yield to that if it's something that he's putting on your heart to do. Going back to the little book, it does actually point directly to the first point in the book, and it's about that time and spending time in study, prayer, and worship. Study produces authority. Authority used manifests power, and power changes things. If you go to the next slide, Mark, I think it's on there. There we go. And it's a cycle, worship, prayer, and study. Study produces authority. Authority used manifests power, and power changes things. Power saves lives. Praise God. Hallelujah for those testimonies. So as we move into 2024 and as we read and reflect on what we heard this morning and reflect on Philippians once more, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Reaching forth. Past is in the past. Yeah. Reaching forth. Reach forth in faith. Reach forth in faith every day. Living in faith every day. It's the title of the little booklet, but living in faith every day, doing it, not hearing it, hearing it and doing it. We read that in the Bible. Be doers of the word, not just listeners, not just hearers. Be doers of the word. Apply the four essentials as a believer's life: prayer, worship, Bible study. And the fourth container that we talk about is evangelism. Watching 2024, friends, as your gifts start to flow. Pray and spend time with the Lord, finding out what he wants you to do. What plans has he got for you? Because I'll tell you something, friends, they are good plans. You don't need to be fearful. They will be good plans. Amen. And they will produce good fruits if they are from the Lord. Do it with a desire and an urgency that God has called you to do something new, to do a new thing through you, a desire to be all that God has called you to be, a desire to do all that God has called you to do. Watch the adventures of faith develop as you yield to his will. Friends, I'm a living testimony of that. And I never thought that little Ruth Horton from Orwell would be stood on a platform saying these words. I'm just being obedient. Gave my life as a small child in Sunday school at Winstanley Church. I drifted back, fell away, but I came back stronger. The Lord pulled me back. He showed me things I never thought I would see, and he has used me. He has used me. And do you know, the turning point for me when I actually reflect back was when I was baptized. And when I was baptized in 2011, there was a turning point and things really started to flow. The fruit started to flow. The Holy Spirit really started to speak to me. I'd received water baptism and the Holy Spirit was in me, flowing from me. And the gifts that I'd been given started to flow and they started to well up and I needed to use them and I knew that. God is so good, friends. Amen. He wants to use you, and he wants to use you, and he wants your life to be abundantly joyful. He wants the best for you. Amen. He has great plans for each of us. 2022, I said yes to starting to preach at Living Faith Church. And I'm only using me as an example because I know how powerful that has been. I stepped out and said yes. And that's all you need to do, friends, is step out and say yes. Agnes has done it today. Well done, Agnes. Stepping into something new that the Lord has got planned for you, not holding on to the past, not holding on to the to what's gone before. It's behind you. That bit's behind you. Like, stretch forward and take good things from the Lord. Praise God. There's so much more I could say, but I think we will close there this morning. But together, can we just say a declaration together, taking us into 2024 together? The plans that he has got for you, you know, are good, don't you?
Yes.
They are good plans. Focus on those plans, those good plans, those positive plans that he has for you. The past is in the past. We can move forward. Don't know whether it's clear enough to see, but we're going to say it together. I'll read it and then you can say it. So if we could just stand up just as a point of closing. Heavenly Father, this has been an awesome year. You have taught me so much. My heart is so thankful. Thankful for everything. Everything you have done for me. In me and through me. I have a desire to become more like Jesus. Thank you for your help with this. Every lesson I learn from. Thank you for our dear Bishop Stephen Lynn Evans. And his family. The preaching we receive, which is the truth. Faith filled and focused on you. I believe that the next year will be even richer. Even fuller. And as I reach the end of 2023, I pray that I will forget what is behind me. And reach forth to what is ahead. Your plans working out in my life. I pray and declare this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And we're just going to close with a beautiful worship song.